Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, and I know I'm going home.
Reading from Luke chapter 1, a portion of verse 13, do not be afraid, your prayer has been heard. Oh, listening friend, we'll pick up right where we left off yesterday as Pastor Rick Warren addresses the subject of defeating the fear that will hold you back, enjoying a fear not Christmas. Here's Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church.
I've often wondered, what if we had given in to our fears and said, it's too hard, we're inadequate, we might be disappointed, and we might lose control. What if we'd given in to all of our fears? How would history be different? Well, you wouldn't be sitting here right now. There wouldn't be 100,000 plus names on the roll of Saddleback Church attenders in 16 different locations. We wouldn't have sent 25,800 people to do humanitarian work in 197 countries. The peace plan wouldn't exist. The Daniel plan wouldn't exist. Purpose-driven life wouldn't exist, which 10% of all the churches in America have done 40 days of purpose. The best-selling book in American history and the most translated book in the world, Purpose-Driven Life, would have never been written. History would be very, very different if Kay and I had given in to our fears. We weren't adequate for the task. We were inadequate, but God was adequate, and our confidence was in Him. So you've got to just stop, and you've got to surrender your life completely to God every day. Here's number two. Number two is stop listening to the voices of fear. You're going to have to change what you watch and what you listen to and what ideas you allow in your mind if you want to move out of fear. You got to stop feeding fearful things into your mind. Books, movies, tapes, TV shows, and on and on and on. All those things. Because all around you are naysayers and negative people. Would you agree that we're in a pretty negative culture? Is it easier to be positive or negative today? It's easier to just be against stuff. And the internet just feeds that. And you have negative voices all around you tell you, you can't do it, you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, you're not cute enough, you're not rich enough, you're not talented enough. You got all kinds of negative voices around you. And by the way, sometimes those voices are inside you too. And you have to stop listening to yourself. Let me give you a little stress reliever. You don't have to believe everything you tell yourself. You don't have to believe everything. Why? Because you lie to yourself all the time. You lie to yourself more than you lie to anybody else. Sometimes you tell yourself things are good when they're not. Sometimes you say they're really bad when they're not as bad as you think you are. You need a much more objective source of truth than your own opinion, because that opinion may have come from a bad burrito last night. You are not the final authority on truth. I'm sorry. And I'm not either, by the way. We need an objective outside source, because we often get it wrong. How's that go for you when you follow your own way? How's that going for you? You hitting dead ends? You meeting every goal? You having every dream fulfilled in your life? No, you're not. So you got to stop listening to the voices of fear. Fear is the opposite of faith. When you're walking in faith, you're not walking in fear. When you're walking in fear, you're not walking in faith. When you invite faith into the front door of your house, fear goes out the back door. When you invite fear into your life, faith goes out the back door. They do not exist together. And the Bible says in Romans 14, whatsoever is not of faith, based on faith, is sin. Now, I told you, I've counseled thousands of people, financial counseling, personal counseling, marriage counseling, career counseling. And I would tell you this that I've learned. Fear is contagious. Fear is contagious. It's a communicable disease. If you get around fearful people, you hang out, all your buddies are fearful, all your buddies think the world's going to hell in a handbasket, then guess what? You're going to feel that way. You get around depressed people, you're going to be depressed. You get around angry people, you're going to be angry. It's that old worn out cliche, if you want to soar with the eagles, you can't run with the turkeys. So let me give you advice. If you want to really eliminate fear in your life, number one, I would say, turn off talk radio and the negative TV news shows. Just turn them off, because they feed on crisis. And every day, it's a crisis of the day. You know, the standard idea in news is if it bleeds, it leads. That's what you start the show with. And they're constantly feeding negative. Study after study after study after university study has shown that if you listen to inflammatory, negative, critical, fearful talk radio all the time, or TV shows are the same, whether it's liberal or conservative, doesn't really matter. That's the kind of person you're going to be. Negative, critical, fearful, defensive, antagonistic. Now, if you want to be that, go ahead and keep on listening to it. I personally want to be a positive, faith-filled rather than fear-filled person. And so the other thing I would suggest you do is start hanging out with people of faith. Get some new friends. It's one of the reasons to find a church family. You're welcome here, but there are a lot of good churches. Just find one where you get around people of faith who have a more positive outlook on life rather than such a negative outlook on life. That's why you need to get in a small group. You know, when you think about all of the negative and fearful voices that Mary had to block out of her mind in order to hear God. I mean, you can imagine, a lot of people probably came into Mary and said, so you're pregnant, huh? Yeah. And you've never had a relationship with man? No. And God is the Father? Yes. And the baby is going to be the Son of God? Yes. Who do you think you are? That would create all kinds of anxiety and fear and insecurity. You know, one of the things I love about Jesus is that Jesus gave dignity to women in a culture that dismissed women, demeaned women, degraded women, and devalued women. He raised them up and gave them great dignity when nobody else in that culture did. Nobody else did. And Mary had to block out the voices of fear around her in order to hear the voice of God. I have a friend who sang a song about Mary's fears, about the reason she could have been afraid. And his name was Jordan Smith. And he sang it on The Voice. Watch this. You made no qualms about being a follower of Jesus Christ. In fact, I noticed on your Twitter, I want to put this on the screen. It says, Jordan Smith, this is his Twitter account, winner of The Voice, season 9, Kentuckian, musician, traveler, follower of Christ. All right. Great. God bless you, man. Great. So, tell me about your relationship to Jesus.
Well, I grew up in a Christian home. My parents are both Christians, and they took me to church every time the doors were open, and they really instilled in me from a very young age, just growing up, how important it was not only to be a good person, but to be a person that's full of the love of God and to pour that onto other people. And I've done everything I can, you know, just growing up to live in that. I thank my family for that. I have them to thank for that. And I have such a good support system behind me. And I've just honestly, I've grown so close to the Lord, and I try to walk with him every day, and I try to direct my thoughts towards him because he's been so good to me. He's given me so many great things. And so, yeah, I've known him my whole life, I feel. And, you know, we've been friends for so long. And
yeah, that's right.
And that's the most important thing.
Yeah. People who don't know God don't understand this talk about friendship with God. But we're not talking about religion. We're talking about a relationship. Now, one of the songs that you did on The Voice was a very famous hymn called Great Is Thy Faithfulness. It immediately shot to number one on Billboard. I don't know the last time we had a hymn at number one. So tell me, how has God been faithful to you?
Well, how has he not been faithful to me?
Yeah.
You know, he's done so much for me. He's healed members of my family. He's healed me. He's given me so much. But the greatest thing I think I've ever received from God, I know, is my salvation. You know, and if he never did another single thing for me in my entire life, then that's absolutely enough. Yeah. Everything else is just an added bonus. Amen?
Amen.
And so he's been faithful in that, and he's you know, been faithful to forgive me and to love me and to always allow me to feel his presence in my life. And two, I told the Lord a long time ago, which I say a long time ago, but I'm only 22 years old, so for some of you, that's not a very long time ago. For you, maybe.
Hey, wait a minute.
I'm just kidding.
Wait a minute.
But I told the Lord a long time ago to me that I never wanted to use his name to promote my position, but I always wanted to use my position to promote his name and do whatever I could to make his name famous. And he's been so faithful to give me those positions and give me those platforms to promote him. And that's just one way that he's been faithful to me.
Fantastic. Now, being on The Voice, that's a lot of competition. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of incredible talent. You've got incredible talent in the judges. You've got the whole nation watching online. And I'm sure during the season, you probably had to deal with some of the fears we've just been talking about, like inadequacy and fear of disappointment and things like that. You probably had even naysayers who said, you shouldn't even try out, you know, and said, why even try? But you did. So tell me about that. Talk to me about how you dealt with the fears throughout the season.
Okay. Actually, honestly, I'll tell you, I auditioned for The Voice in February of 2014. And when I auditioned the first time, I didn't make it. which was a very difficult thing for me because this has been a dream of mine for a very long time. I've been a fan of the show ever since it started, and I always felt just an attachment to it in my heart, and that was one of my desires, was to be a part of the show that I felt was so wonderful. And so for me, that was a huge disappointment in my life. And the opportunity came around. I waited out that year, and I accepted, you know, I accepted that that wasn't God's timing. That's not his plan. That's okay. And then a year went around, and the next February, in February of this year, I got a call, and a talent scout had seen a video of me and asked me to come back and audition for the show. But
this is like going to moving against the fear of disappointment.
This is, and so in that moment, I was faced with a choice. I could either allow the fear of being disappointed again, because this was something huge, you know, that I'd wanted for so long, and I'd already been disappointed once. So I could have allowed that fear of disappointment to take control, and I could have said no, or I could have stepped out on faith and really believed that this is what God had placed in me as a desire and a dream, not only that I had for myself, but the dream that God had for me. And I stepped into that, and it just started a chain reaction of so many wonderful experiences over the past year with this show that I've been so blessed by. So I've had to overcome that just initially to even be a part of the show. And then, of course, you know, each week getting up on live television and singing high notes and standing on high things every week, there's always a little bit of fear that wants to creep in, the fear of inadequacy and knowing, you know, thinking that you're not good enough or that you can't do it. But I had to accept that I am not good enough in my own strength and in my flesh. I'm not enough. None of us are. But where I end is where God begins. And he will take everything that's out of our control, and he will do his part as long as we do what we can do with what's in our control. So I just had to do that every week. I had to do what I could and do what was in my control and leave the rest to him and prepare myself and then allow him to just move and work in whatever way he saw fit and open myself, like you said, to that and say, whatever it is that God has for my life, that's what I want to do. And so that's just one example of how I've had to overcome my fears through this whole process.
Wow. Two more keys to dealing with fear. The third thing, and Jordan did this, and so did Mary and everybody else, fill my mind with music that praises God. Now, I have to explain why this is an antidote to fear. Fill my mind with music that honors, that focuses, that worships and praises God. Why? I want you to listen very closely. Praise is the antidote to panic. Worship is the antidote to worry. Why? Because when you're scared to death, all of your attention is focusing on you. How I feel, how I look, how competent I'm. You're totally focused on yourself. And to get rid of fear, you got to get the focus off you and get it on God. And when you turn your focus on God, that's called praise. That's called worship. Worship is just focusing on God. And when you're focusing on how big God is, it shrinks the size of your problems. Now, the closer I get to God, the more confident I'm going to be in life. The further away I get from God, the more scared, frightened, insecure, and worried I'm going to be. Why? Because you lose your fear when God is near. You lose your fear when God is near. When you're far away from God, it all depends on you. If it's to be, it's up to me. No, it's not just up to you. God says, you don't need to be afraid. I'll help you. You lose your fear when God is near. So by focusing your mind, one of the best ways to do it is through music, on God, it shrinks the size of your problem and enlarges the size. The bigger God gets in your life, the smaller your problems become. We have a Christmas party in our cul-de-sac every year, our neighborhood, and we invite the whole neighborhood. And I was talking to one of our neighbors Sunday night out on the cul-de-sac, and he said, you know, Rick, when I was going through the darkest days of fear in my life, he said, I went on TV and saw one of those buy 10 Time Life CD collection of great Christian worship songs, praise songs, contemporary praise. So he said, I bought the whole set, the Time Life series. I converted them to MP3s, put them on my iPod, and for the next several months, I just listened to music that helped me focus on God rather than on my fears. And he said, it not only comforted me, it made me courageous. It gave me courage. Any of you who've ever gone through a tough time and then listened to music that helped you get the focus on God know what I'm talking about. Most of you know my youngest son, after struggling with mental illness his entire life, took his life. It was the worst day of my life, our family's life. And for months after that, Kay and I didn't even want to turn on the TV. The pain and the grief was so intense in our lives. But what we did do is fill our house and our car and our lives with worship music that helped us focus on God. And it gave us comfort and it gave us courage. Do you know what Mary did when she was so frightened about the job that God had given her? She wrote a song and sang it. And that song, called Mary's Song, is actually in the Bible. Part of it is there on your outline. Luke chapter 1. Then Mary sang. This is how she dealt with her fears. Then Mary sang, "With all my heart, I praise the Lord. I rejoice in God my Savior, for he notices me. He cares for me, a simple servant girl. He has blessed me, and he is the mighty one." The bigger God gets in your mind, the smaller your problems get. "He is the mighty one, your fears shrink, who is holy. He's all powerful. He can do anything. He meets all our needs, and he keeps all our promises." It is no accident that Christmas is the most musical of all holidays. No other holiday on the planet comes close to having the most songs. There are literally thousands and thousands of Christmas songs. No other holiday has so much music. I mean, there are some stations, they start playing Christmas music in what? August, you know, and by that time you're sick of it, you know, and they just keep playing it. Why? Because at the first Christmas, everybody sang. Mary sang to get rid of her fears. Elizabeth sang to get rid of her fears. The angels sang. The shepherds sang. Even Zechariah writes a song. It's in the Bible. I highly recommend that you do that, that you start listening to music that builds you up, not tears you down. That focuses on the solution, not the problems in life. Finally, there's a fourth way to defeat your fears. Base my hope on the promises of God. Base my hope on the promises of God. Let me ask you a personal question. What do you put your hope in? What gives you any hope for next year? If I don't put my hope in myself, I don't put my hope in the economy, I certainly don't put my hope in any politician, I don't put my hope in political correctness or conventional wisdom or public opinion or cultural values. I put my hope in what God has promised in his word right here. Now, did you know that in this book, the Bible, in this book, there are over 7,000 promises of God from God to you? Do you even know one of them? It would be silly to go through life not knowing what God has promised to do in your life. That's why you're filled with anxiety. You know, if I were to have a major surgery needed, and I was worried, can I afford this? I'd go get my insurance policy, my medical policy, look it up, and if the policy says this procedure's covered, I don't sweat it, because I'm not going to pay for it, because the insurance company has promised to pay for it. So I'm not anxious, I'm not worried. Even if it's $1 million surgery, they'll handle it. The reason you are fearful and anxious and worried is you don't know what's in the policy manual right here. You don't know what's in here. And so in this book, there are promises from God to you about your finances. Did you know that? About your health, about your sex life, about your relationships, about your career, about your past, your present, your future, about forgiveness of sin, about eternal life. They're all there. But if you don't know them, you can't claim them. They're like gifts that you've never unwrapped. They're like somebody writing you a $1 billion check and you never cash it. The fourth key to overcoming fear in your life is to stop listening to the things around you and start focusing on what God has promised to do in your life. This is what gave Mary confidence. Elizabeth noticed this. And in Luke chapter 1, Elizabeth said to Mary, "You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said." You believe God will keep his promises. That's what gave this young peasant girl enormous confidence in the face of an incredibly fearful situation. She believed God would keep his word. And when you start doing that, you will be blessed too. Now, as a pastor, I want you to be blessed. It's why I do this. It's why I'm teaching all these services today. Nobody pays me to do this. I've served this church for free for 35 years. I'm an amateur. I do it out of love. Nobody pays me a salary to pastor this church. I do it because I want you to be blessed. I want you to be fearless. In Psalm 56, David says this, "When I'm afraid, I put my trust in God. And when I put my trust in God, I'm not afraid. Well, duh. It's kind of obvious there. He said, I praise him for what he has what? Promised. Circle that word. I praise him for what he's promised. Now, as I said, there are over 7,000 promises in this book from God to you. And if you've gone through life not knowing these promises, you've had a lot of worry. You've had a lot of fear. You've had a lot of frustration, fatigue, and failure, too. I don't have time to go through 7,000 promises. Let me just give the most important one. It's the promise that when you die, you can go to heaven if you trust in the Son that he sent at Christmas. That's called the promise of eternal life. It's in John chapter 3, verse 16, the most famous verse in the Bible. You've seen posters, John 3, 16, probably at every football game in your life. And here's what it says. Look up here on the screen. For God so loved the world. He did it out of love, not out of anger, fear, or judgment. God so loved the world. That includes me. That includes you. God so loved you that he gave his one and only son. That's what Christmas is all about. He comes to earth in the form of Jesus Christ. He gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him, notice it doesn't say believe and be perfect, believe and never sin. It just says believe. Whoever believes in him, that's the one condition, shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's the greatest promise. Now, Jesus Christ came to earth at Christmas to die for your sins, so you don't have to pay for your sins. He was hung on the cross so you can quit hanging yourself on a cross and feeling regret and resentment and rejection and shame and all that guilt, stuff like that. But Jesus didn't just come to earth to forgive your sins. That's part of it. He didn't just come to earth to get you into heaven if you trust in him. He also came to eliminate your fears here and now. Last verse on the screen, it says this. Jesus came to die for us so that he could free us from living all our lives as slaves to the fear of death. That's the universal fear. Because the last time I checked, the mortality rate in the world is 100%. We're all going to die someday. Now, it would be foolish, really, it would be foolish to go all through life unprepared for what you know is inevitable. That's called denial, friend. Are you ready to die? You're not ready to live till you're ready to die. Do you know what's going to happen to you after you die? Have you believed so that you might have eternal life? That's the whole purpose of Christmas. It's why the whole world's going to shut down and celebrate, because God split history into AD and BC. The last line of that famous carol, O Little Town in Bethlehem, goes like this. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee, you, Jesus, tonight. I'm going to close this with what I call a no-fear prayer, a fear-not prayer. And if you've ever had any anxiety, problems like that, the stress in your life has been building up, I highly recommend you pray this prayer, that you begin the journey of getting to know God this Christmas. Why celebrate Christmas if you don't know the God who sent his son? That doesn't make sense. Why celebrate Christmas and not open up his gift to you? So let's bow our heads for prayer right now. And as I pray this prayer, you can just in your mind go, me too, God. You don't have to actually say the words. What matters is the attitude of humility that says, God, I need you. So just pray this. Dear God, I don't want to be fearful. I want my life to be full of faith, not fear. And I admit that I've struggled with some of these fears, inadequacy, and the fear of disapproval, and the fear of change, and the fear of losing control, and the fear of being disappointed. And I've been afraid to believe. I've been afraid to trust. I've been afraid to hope. I've been afraid of you. And yet you say, don't be afraid. So starting today, I want to surrender my life completely to you every day. You're God. I'm not. I want what you want for my life. You know it'll make me happy more than anybody else will. Help me to stop listening to the voices of fear, to hang out with people of faith. Help me to fill my mind with music that gets the focus off me and onto you. And help me to base my hope not on some flimsy idea, but on the rock-solid promises of God. Lord, you've said that if I believe in your Son, I will not perish but have eternal life. I want that. And so right now, as best as I know how, I ask you to accept me into your family. I humbly ask you to accept me into your family. Jesus Christ, I don't understand it all, but as much as I know how, I open my life up to you. I want to get to know you, and I want to know your purpose, God, for my life. And I humbly ask this in your name. Amen.
Amen and amen. If you just prayed that prayer by Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church, welcome to the family of God. Actually, that prayer covered the whole outline from yesterday and today's message about the fears that we experience at Christmas, the fear of inadequacy, the fear of disapproval, the fear of sudden change, the fear of losing control, and the fear of being disappointed. And then how can we defeat those fears? Surrender your life completely to God every day. Stop listening to the voices of fear. Fill your mind with music that praises God and base your hope on the promises of God. If you missed a portion of this broadcast, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.